Would you just stand? Let's lift our hands, ask God to help us today. God, we worship you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace. I worship you, God. Can we give him a hand clap of praise today? He's worthy. He's worthy of all the praise. I'm thankful to be in his house today. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, and would turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 33. While you're turning there, I just need to clarify something. Pastor made it sound like I'm the big name and he's just the little fish, but I happen to see the analytics and the stats on all our messages that are played online, and Pastor's number one. Pastor's messages are the ones that are in all the top five messages came from Pastor, so I just gotta let you know your pastor's a much better preacher. But John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Put your Bibles down. Let's ask God to help us. God, humbly I come before you. I ask, God, for your help, your favor today. I pray, let me speak to someone today, God. Speak to my heart, I pray. Let somebody leave different after this, I pray, in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, oh God. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. This portion of scripture is common. I've heard it. I've preached from it many times. I've heard it preached, but felt kind of a different direction to go with that. I will tell you that I was getting a little nervous as Pastor was preaching his mini message, because a lot of what I felt this morning, I had a whole different message I was going to preach, but this morning, right as I was getting ready for church, I felt a whole different direction, and which tells me that it was specifically for today. It wasn't something I was able to plan out and have a lot of time to think about and to try and figure out who it was going to be for, but rather God just began to speak it quickly, and as fast as I could basically write it, it was coming. And so I believe that's specifically for someone, but I think that if I were to take a poll today and I were to ask you if you have ever heard a country music song at one time or another in your life, I think we all have heard a country song. I mean, they play it in Walmart, they play it in the gas stations, they play it in many of the places we go. You will hear country music on in the background. And it's not something that I personally choose to listen to. I believe, as Pastor said, that you need to switch your radio dial over to a different channel. I believe that there's better music that can be listened to, but however, I'm not trying to condemn and trying to put a bad label on someone that does. However, I just want to share with you a few things that I have observed and read. I looked it up, and according to the Country Music Association, there's over 129 million people over the age of 18 that listen to country music. And then you take teenagers between 12 and 17, and that makes up for another 10 million listeners. So my question would be, why is it that 139 million people listen to country music? Why is it so popular? Why is it became such an integral part of life in general today? Can I tell you, it's because people relate to it. It talks about situations that people are currently in. It describes the hard times in life. I don't know these songs personally. I don't listen to these, but just if you look at the top titles that are in current country music, it's stuff like "A Rock and a Hard Place." Ever been there in life where it's a rock and a hard place? I don't even know the song, but that title seems like something that I've been in before. "One Thing at a Time," "I'm Human," "Water Under the Bridge," and "A Good Day for Living." These are titles that are just titles of country songs that are hit songs right now. I couldn't even tell you what those songs are, but I can even just look at the title and say I could probably relate to something in one of those songs. And I can tell you that those titles were born out of something in life. They wrote those songs because of something that happened in their life or someone else's life. But there's also a few other predominant themes that come along with country music in general. Titles like Beer Never Broke My Heart, There's a Tear in My Beer, Save Water and Drink Beer, Drinking Class, Drunk on a Plane, or stuff like Right Girl, Wrong Time, Die from a Broken Heart, I'd Be Better Off in a Pine Box Than You in Tequila. Why, preacher, are you sitting here bashing country music? I'm not trying to just bash country music. Can I tell you, you could look at rap and hip-hop and reggae and all the other genres out there, and you can find where there is titles that are related to and born out of life. Let me put in a plug and say Christian music. You can find titles that are born out of real problems in real life. When you start to especially look at the old hymns, you will find many, many titles that were written in times of extreme hardship and how God brought them through. So it's not just country music we can relate to. But what I want to look at is the common theme that seems to fit most titles that I see is that when you hit hard times in life, you grab a beer, you grab a girl, and you just drown it away. That's the general consensus. If you were to happen to pay attention to the background music that you're hearing that's country music, and you were to observe the titles, the vast majority of it talks about alcohol, and it talks about relationships, and it talks about dead-end roads. And I've heard people comment that, you know, country music is all about you lost the dog, you lost the wife, and you're down on your luck, but if you play it backwards, you get all that back. And maybe there's something to that. But I'm just saying that when you look, it's all about just drowning my sorrows away. That's the main purpose of it. And the problem with that, I forgot to add, they do add prayer in there. The same song that talks about grabbing a beer and finding a girl very well may have something to do with praying to the man upstairs. It might be in the very same song. There's a problem with that logic. The country song forgets to tell you that beer doesn't solve the problem. It forgets to tell you that that cold one that they went by the bar to grab only lasts for a little while. So, yeah, they've got the prayer in there, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but that first part's not doing anything good for them, I can assure you. As Pastor said, he was at that funeral, I was as well, and yesterday, and you could see the grief on people's faces. You could see it, emotions that were pulled and tugged as stories were told, and they were showing pictures of his life, and you could see the heartache on several people's face over the one that had died. But just like those good old country songs that the man that died was a fan of and many of the crowd there was a fan of, once that funeral's over and the memories have been exposed and talked about and we've laughed and we've cried and we've spent some time thinking about the person, it's time to go head to the bar to go drown it out. It's time to go and find something to cope with what I'm dealing with. And as I'm at the bar drowning it out, everything is getting better for a little while. I forget about the trouble. I'm just having a good time with my friends. And please, please let me say humbly that I'm not trying to say these comments with arrogance and judgment towards people. I'm just making observations of what I've seen in my life, things that I have observed. I'm not trying to judge somebody, but it's with sadness that I say these comments that I see these people that are hurting and they're literally going to just drown it out. They don't even know what really to do, what they're gonna do. They just are going looking for something to drown it out. But as I get up from that place and I've got a hangover, can I tell you those memories come back? And that Band-Aid didn't work, so let me put another Band-Aid on it, and I'll drink some more, and I'll just erase it for a little while longer. This is why you see people that truly get, for years, they're just habitual, relapsing into a state of inebriation and not being coherent, because They're trying to erase the trauma and the trouble. And can I say, we all have had trauma and trouble. Myself personally, I have been through some things that shook me to my core. Days that I did not feel like getting up. Days that I had no strength left. The difference is that I didn't turn to the bottle. Not because I'm better than somebody. Because I had another option. I knew of another option that I could go to. But when I'm in an altered state of reality, be it drugs, alcohol, whatever the case may be, the problems aren't real bad at that moment. At that moment, they're kind of gone. They're not in front of me. But there comes a point when you wake up and the problems are there, but now they're worse. Now you've got more to deal with, more shame, more guilt, more hurt, more anguish to deal with. But that option that I have and that you have and that anybody could have if they're willing to just read this book that was left for us. Life's going to throw you some tough curves and turns. We're all going to have times that we find ourselves in a place of like, wow, I had no idea that was coming. I didn't think it could happen. Whatever the case may be, I think I could go around the room and all of us have either been there or are there in a place that you've got something in your life you did not plan on being in that situation. You did not plan on having to go through that kind of trouble. I think I could safely say that. And in life, it's just part of life that loved ones pass away. Marriages sometimes get shattered. Kids sometimes go astray. Sickness sometimes consumes us. It's the result of living in this flawed world in a flawed human body. Can I tell you that trouble and hardship are not prejudiced? They do not pick based off of skin color or background or off of anything in life. The Bible even talks about that it rains and shines on the just and the unjust. Every morning, I don't care if you are the vilest sinner or you are the perfect saint. When you wake up in the morning, you're going to have sunshine if you are living another day. If you are waking up and it's raining that day, the righteous and the unrighteous both get wet because it rains on the just and the unjust. You will have trouble. And as a child of God, we still are going to have these hard times. The difference is I have an option. I have a source of peace and strength that I can go to. If you'd put the verse back up that I read for my text, John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." That's Jesus talking. He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." You're going to have trouble. It's going to happen. It's not a variable. It's not a maybe. It's going to happen. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In Jesus, we have peace. That is the only place we will ever find true peace. That's the only place that you will ever reach a place of contentment and true happiness is in Jesus Christ alone. You got trouble sleeping. I've been there. I have two options. I can choose the bottle or I can choose the Bible. The bottle is going to leave you empty and hungover. It will help for a while. I would be a liar to tell you that the band-aids that the world hands you, that the devil gives you, the things that are temporary altering substances of some sort, those do work for a while. But there comes a point when they don't work anymore. There comes a point where either the euphoria runs out or the bottle runs out, and now I'm found in a place of emptiness again. But I can go to the Bible in Psalms verses 4 and 8 that says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." When I have trouble sleeping, I can call on the one that will give me peace and help me sleep. I have been in situations my family knows about that it was times that I felt demonic oppression so strong that I in my own self could not sleep because of the oppression and the things that were around. But all of a sudden, I found that verse. I remember where I was. I rolled over. I looked at my Bible, and I read that verse out of nowhere. I just happened to turn there, and I remember I just said, God, you can help me sleep. You can give me peace. And can I tell you, I had a good night's sleep that night. Oh, what a privilege we have to know the Prince of Peace. What a privilege we have to know the God that we know. And you say, well, my grief is so great. You don't understand, preacher, I'm so alone, I'm so depressed. And I can normally change my level of depression or my state of consciousness if I'll just go get some powder or some pills or a bottle. And you know what, preacher, it actually helps. It goes away. I believe you. I believe you. I believe it does. But my question would be is when that high is gone, how do you feel? When it's gone, when the bottle's empty, how do you feel? Do you feel happy? Do you feel clean? Do you feel gratified, satisfied? I don't believe the answer is yes. I have never met somebody. The answer is yes. I have rather met plenty of people that the answer is no. I find myself more miserable than I was before. I did things I didn't plan on doing. I've found myself in places I didn't want to be. I can think of somebody that was close to me that right now is sitting in prison because the bottle was the answer. In dark times, I talked to them. I tried to help and say it wasn't the answer. You can't do that. It's not going to help you. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's just going to make it worse. But right now, they're in a prison cell because they chose the bottle. And the bottle led them down a path they never, ever, ever planned on being. That's what happens when we look elsewhere for our source of peace. But you say, I have all these problems, preacher. I'm so turmoiled in life. I want to read you something in the Old Testament. This is long before Jesus was born, but the prophet prophesied something. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, it says, talking about Jesus when he would come to this earth, it said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Can I stop there and just say, we serve a God that understands where we are at. He understands the problems in life. We serve a God that can relate. He's not some God that is, yes, he sits on high and he's all powerful, but that he can't relate. You ever been around people that you tell them about your trouble, you tell them about your problems, but they can't relate to you. They've never walked in those shoes. They've never been anywhere close to those shoes. They grew up easy life, and they grew up on top of cloud nine, but they can't relate to how you were. Can I tell you, there's a God that has walked on this earth, and he was despised and rejected. He knows what the pain of rejection feels like. He knows what it's like to have sorrow and grief. And it says, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. People didn't help him. People didn't look at him and try and give him respect, but rather they further despised him. It says in verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. People said, oh, it must be because he's doing something wrong. Look at him. He is not what he says he is. He is not truly the Christ. Or after all, when he's up on that cross, he could come on down. Come on, Jesus. They're taunting him. What happened? Jesus was carrying the things that we deal with. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Yes, he took our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. And this part right here, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. The chastisement of our peace, what it's saying is, he suffered so we can have peace. He suffered. He bore our sins. He bore our transgressions. Those stripes on him were so that we could call on him and be healed. He did all this so that in this life, we could have peace. We could have a hope beyond tomorrow. We could have strength. All that was done way back on the cross. And when you read the rest of that chapter, you'll see where God it's truly, we understand the oneness of God. We understand that the man Christ Jesus was God Almighty, robed in flesh here on this earth to go through that and become the perfect sacrifice. But we see where God put his son through that because he had to bear some, he had to bear it for us. We are not able. And so he had to go to the cross at Calvary and take our sins, take our pain, take our shame, take all the things that we can't take so that we have a way out. It's amazing. It's a beautiful, it's a gory but yet beautiful story when you see Jesus on the cross, when you see what he went through. It's so gory and so stomach turning if you really take time to dissect it and think about it. But it's so amazing at the same time that a God would have that much love and that much care and mercy on humanity that he would go and do that. I came today to help somebody. I felt a burden. I don't even know if it's for someone here, if it's someone else, I don't know. But all I know is there's some people that you're going through dark times in your life. Can I tell you, there is a source of strength and peace. There is. It's in the darkest times, there is still a place of hope and peace. But I'm going to be transparent with you and tell you that it's not something that just numbs the pain. That source of peace is not something that is just a temporary band-aid on that bleeding wound that you've got inside. That source of peace is not just temporary relief. It's not something that I can go and instantly feel better and instantly everything's great. Let me tell you what the source of peace is. It's strength to get through the trial and through the problem. I understand we want the easy way. I want the easy way. You do. We want the other options. But the true source of peace will give you the strength to get through it. Gives you the strength to get through the healing process. Healing processes take time. A miracle is instant. When we see in the Bible that Jesus did a miracle, it was an instant right now thing. People walked, the lame walked, the deaf heard, on and on. But healings take a while. Healings take some time. Let me give an example. You ever been hit, banged your knee or hit your knee or something, and now you've got a big nasty bruise? It takes a while. And it's ugly. It's horribly ugly to look at. And it's painful, and if somebody touches it or you bump it, it hurts all over again. You get a scab and you accidentally scrape it. Guess what? It starts all over again. It's painful. It's a process. That's what happens whenever you call on Jesus for peace. He walks you through it. He gives you the strength. He gives you the tools. He gives you the ability to get through the hard time. He doesn't just band-aid it and take it away. He doesn't just instantly say, okay, well, you don't have to deal with it anymore, and then turn around and let you deal with the same problem later. It's mercy, it's love that he says, I'm going to give you strength, I'm going to give you peace to get through the process. It's only in him, though, that you can find that true, true peace. See, the reason why that country song method of grab a beer, grab a girl, and say a prayer doesn't work is because I'm relying on the bottle or the girl or the drugs to get me through as a temporary band-aid, but then I want to pray and have God help me through it. I'm relying on that relationship that's involved in that to take the edge off so that then when I pray to God, after all, he'll make it better. The Bible says that flesh and spirit do not work together. Flesh and spirit, you can't have both and try and solve the problems. You can't rely on an arm of the flesh and do what gratifies the flesh and then turn around and say, God, I want you to heal me. I want you to give me peace. I want you to restore me. But at the same time, I'm going to rely on my human means and my human flesh to get through. The Bible says that the spirit is opposed and contrary to the things of the flesh. They don't work together. Nowhere in the Bible do they work together. You don't find where you can have the lust of the flesh and all this just going 100 miles an hour and then have a red-hot prayer meet. They don't work together. We got to make a choice. Which one do you want? Do you want the band-aid of the flesh? Do we want to rely on the flesh? Do we want the flesh to try and solve our problems? that hasn't been working time and time and time again. And as Pastor said, you go back time and time again because after all, it's not working. But I get temporary relief. Or am I going to look to the one who can truly, truly give me peace? The only way you can get that is by the Holy Ghost. The only way. The Bible says that he was going to send the Comforter. He was going to send the one who would bring and empower you with power and bring you the tools you need to get through life. I still believe I will go to my grave believing as a dogmatic statement that it still takes repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. There is no other options. There is no other way. I can't just believe because if I believe, I don't have the power. I didn't get the peace. I didn't get the true Comforter whenever I just believed. I've got to have the source of strength. I've got to have the power behind the peace. I've got to have the power that truly gives me the ability to overcome it. As I wrap up, I'm not going to be much longer. As I get ready to close, I'm asking somebody, you tried the bottle, it didn't work. You tried pills, they didn't work. You tried relationships, they didn't work. Oh, they might have worked a while, but after a while, you find yourself in the same boat. The self-help websites that are available everywhere didn't work. Music, different genres, different lyrics, they don't work. Why don't we give God an opportunity? Why don't we just surrender and say, God, I guess you're going to have to take over because I cannot figure this out on my own. He went to the cross to do it. We read in Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Can I tell you, the only true life support in life is Jesus Christ. The only support I can get to get through life is Jesus Christ alone. And here's the best part, if you'd stand with me. Here's the best part. It's available anytime and anywhere. He's never closed. He's never busy. He's never in a place of just not listening. I think back to when Elijah was taunting the prophets of Baal. He said, well, maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's on a vacation. Maybe he's just not listening right now. But the one true God is available anytime, anywhere. And he's the place I can go to find peace and strength. It does not matter where I find myself. Oh, yes, there's consequences. Oh, yes, there's pain. Oh, yes, there's suffering because of my actions. But can I tell you, I can always call on him. I always can have an advocate with the Father that I can talk to him night or day. In the darkest night, he's there. The psalmist said in hell, he was there. In the bottom, he was there. On top, he was there. God is there. And he's got life support. He's got life support for us. Support to make it through life. It will sustain you. It will keep you if you'll trust him. Can we just lift our hands and ask him, God, I need your help. I can't walk one day without you. God, I need strength. I need peace, oh God. I need you, Jesus. Oh, would you talk to him?
I wonder right now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if there's somebody here that says, preacher, you've been talking to me. Preacher, you've been coming down my road. Preacher, I don't like to hear and listen to all this, but you've been talking to me. I wonder if there's somebody today that says, I want to make a move. I want to make a move from the wrong road back onto the right road. I want to get off of the trail that's taking me nowhere, and I want to get back over on the path that takes me to eternal life. I wonder if there's somebody today that would say, I want to reset. I want to get back onto the true life support. Not just a Band-Aid, not something that is just for a moment, but I want to get connected. I want to get connected into the true support that I need for my life. I wonder if you'd join me around these altars today. Right up in the front, there's chairs up here you can kneel on. There's just a place to stand, whatever. If you want to connect and reconnect with God, I believe that God will meet you here at this altar area today. Oh, would you come? Would you come? Would you just talk to God right now? He wants to do it. He's waiting to do it. He has the power to do it. He holds power that the world can't even begin to imagine. The world, it doesn't work. But God's way will work today. Oh, it's a good day to find a place of repentance. It's a good day to turn your life around. It's a good day to connect with God. He's here. He's here right now. Oh, would you come? Would you connect with Him right now?
Lord, I can't even walk without You holding my hand. I can't even walk without You holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too high.
God is here. He's reaching for somebody. I wonder if God's reaching for you today. Will you respond? Will you let Him do the work in your life that He wants to do and He's so capable of doing? The devil's a liar. He lies. He says it won't do any good. He says that I can't change. He says that I'm stuck where I'm at. Devil's a liar. Oh, would you just reach for him today? He's reaching. But you've got to reach out and touch him if you want to see your life change. There's only one true God. He holds all power. He knows all things. He's in every place at all times because he fills and inhabits the universe. Somebody can get hung up on, well, if he's everywhere at one time, why does he let bad stuff happen? If you'll read your Bible through and through, you'll study it. Pursue the heart and the mind of God. You begin to understand that it is not God's will for bad things to happen. When God allows a loved one to be taken from us, you say, God allowed it? Yes, God allows it. God allows all things. God allows evil to happen. But you see, there's a much bigger picture. Can't open a book and read the first couple of pages or flip to the middle and read a couple of pages and understand the whole plot of the story, the whole picture that that writer is trying to paint. But our God holds all powerful. He knows all things. He inhabits all things. He is everywhere at once, and he's aware your situation. Sometimes the purpose and the big picture of God's will requires a struggle between good and evil, a struggle between right and wrong, a struggle between grief and happiness. But God has given the options, as Brother Austin talked about today, God has given us the option to really connect with what we need to get us through this temporary journey that we call life. You see, eternity, I like to think of in my natural mind wrap around like bookends. And I like to think of eternity on one side as being a bookend that there is nothing on the other side of it, and then on the other side of the books is another bookend, and that's eternity again, and it continues on, and there's no books after it. But between those two bookends called eternity, there's this period that is called time. Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades. times. It's called time. It's, we identify it as time. It's a space. It's a interpretation that we look at. It is a manifestation that we look at. It is an image that we look at that we can understand as time in our human logic. But really, really, the truth of the matter is that eternity before, eternity after, is really continuing now. Eternity is the real space that we are walking in. We are just captured in a dimension that we call time. But you see, if we are putting all of our eggs in this basket that we call time, or this life that we call our journey here, you might live to be a day if you're a newborn. You might live to be 100 years old. You might live to be 120. You might live to be 50. You might live to be 80. Wherever you fall in that, it doesn't really change anything in your eternal picture. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in time, we say, you know what, I need to get my life straightened out, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I'll do it next month. I just need to finish a few things. I just need to accomplish this or that, or I need to experience this or that, or I need to work on this or that, or I need to get good enough, this or that. No, can I tell you that we are so focused sometimes on the here that we fail to look at the after. It's the hereafter that really matters. Am I ready for eternity? Oh, I might be existing in time, and I say, yeah, as long as everybody leaves me alone, doesn't mess with me, as long as I don't get in a car wreck or get a bullet in the head, or if I don't get a terminal sickness, I've still got time. Time, it's just a few days, and it's gone. And then we're facing the eternity that will never end. But the problem is that there's no altering your state of being in eternity. You can't change that. Right now, while we're in time, you have the opportunity to make changes, or can I say it in a better way, I believe, you have the opportunity to surrender everything in your life to a God that can make the changes. We try to make changes. We try to do this. It doesn't work. Other people, programs, everything. A lot of good things that we can use as supplemental aid, etc. But the real answer, the real life support is only in God. And you say, how do I get on it? You got to surrender. If you're not willing to lay in the hospital bed and leave that IV plugged into your veins, and you just say, I'm done with this, and walk out, and you have nobody but yourself to blame whenever you don't get the medications and nutritions that hospital has to provide to you. You walk out, you disconnect, you don't surrender to the bed and the IV, and you walk out, it's on you. Can I tell you that if you don't surrender to God and the connection of life support that He has for you and I, if you don't surrender to Him and let Him keep you connected. Well, I don't like to be tied up. I don't like to be told what to do. Fine. Get up and walk out. It's on you to spend an eternity in a devil's lake of fire where you're going to be tossing and turning, crying every second, if there was a such thing as time. Tormented, saying, oh, God, please give me one more chance. Just let that preacher give me another chance. I promise you, I'll run to the altar. I'll get it right. Please, God, one more second, just something. But it's too late. And the problem is, it doesn't just last for a day or a year or 100 years or 1,000 years. Eternity will never end. And wherever you are when eternity starts is where you'll always be. If you're in a place of happiness, joy, in a place called heaven, because you have surrendered while you were here in this life to the life support that He's made available to you, then you're going to be a happy person forever. But if, when you take your last breath on this earth, you are are not ready. Can I tell somebody, if you are not ready when you take your last breath, you are going to be forever in a state of torment like you've never imagined here. All of us have experienced what we would call difficult times, hard times, torment, pain, grief, suffering. It doesn't hold a candle. When you lost your last loved one, we've all lost one. When you lost your last loved one, they've passed from this life. That pain and that grief and that hurt and that wanting to turn to something to get rid of it. You won't have any alcohol in heaven or in hell. You won't have in heaven too, thank God. But you won't have any alcohol in hell. You won't have any drugs in hell. You won't have any party friends in hell. You won't have a dance you can go to. You won't have country music you can listen to try to connect. You won't have anything but the memories of how you had an opportunity to connect with God. Oh, I wonder today, they're going to sing it again, and I just wonder today, is there somebody that has not surrendered and is not connected? Is there somebody that's willing to get up on that operating table and let God do some real heart surgery on you today? As they sing, we're gonna take just a few more moments. I feel it on my heart to not dismiss this service without giving somebody a chance. We never know when our last breath is. We could step off of a curb today and be gone like that when a car knocks us into eternity. We could have somebody walk up and a drive-by, don't even know who you are, and just letting bullets fly because of their anger, and it takes you out. You could be struck with a massive heart attack immediately. No warning. Didn't see it coming. Nobody else did, but you're gone. And when that happens, it's over. There's no other chance to connect. There's no other chance to get it right. We've got to surrender our lives. Surrender our lives. Surrender our lives. And be willing to get connected to the options that God has for us. Oh, again, let me say again, it's a good, I feel the Spirit of the Lord in here. It's a good opportunity to repent. Somebody needs to repent and say, God, I've been holding back. I've been giving you about 45% of my life or 85% of my will, but now I'm going to just give it all to you. It's a good opportunity to connect. Oh, I would beg and plead with somebody. If it would do good, I'd get down on my hands and knees, and I would grab your ankles and beg you. If it would do any good, God's calling, God's pleading, God's reaching right now. Oh, would you respond? Is there somebody that would respond to God? Is there somebody that would let God change? To do something today.
I must be saved.
Church, let's be praying that God can do what He wants to do today.
For
He's trying to do something today in this service.
I must be saved. Above whatever you have to do. Above all else, to
you know, My mind goes to when Jesus was here on this earth in the flesh, ministry, walking the streets, ministry. You know, there was somebody that, there were a lot of people that wanted to see Jesus. They'd come out just to get a glimpse of him. There were some who heard that he could do miracles and they wanted to get a miracle done, touch, healing, whatever the case is. Some people came out because they heard he was, well, as we would put it today, as somebody that's wacko or a freak. And some people came out to just to see who this one was. But there were some that really wanted to see Jesus, but they didn't feel like they could get to him because they weren't big enough, they weren't strong enough, they didn't have a right to get up right there at the front. And, you know, after all, they were a sinner. They weren't good enough. So this man, he said, you know what, I've got to see Jesus, but I don't have a right to push my way to the front of the crowd. He said, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to climb up in a tree. I'm going to get up in a tree, and I'm going to climb up in there, and I'll be above everybody else where they're at, but I'll be hidden in this tree, and it's no big deal. Jesus will pass by, and I think if I figure it out just right, this tree is going to be right over where Jesus is passing by. And when he passes right by, I'm going to get to see him. Now, I'm not worthy to meet him. I mean, it's not like I could invite him to my house for dinner or something because, you know, we're just in, you know, he's way above me. So he climbed up in the tree. He said, I'm not deserving of an encounter with Jesus or a connection with Jesus, but I just want to see him. As he got up in this tree and he hung out there, pretty soon here came this big procession down the road. Jesus is walking. People are thronging him all around. Jesus walks right by this tree. Zacchaeus, no doubt, was trying to be quiet and just he was probably, I mean, can you imagine what's going through Zacchaeus' mind when he's just like, oh my, this one that I've heard about, he's like, he's just passing right in front of me here. And I'm looking at him. I can see his face. In fact, I've got a better view than I ever dreamed I'd have. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. And even though Jesus doesn't know who I am, and even though I don't have any reason for him to even show me any attention, at least I got to see him. And this is something I'll tell my grandkids someday. But you see, because Zacchaeus put forth an effort that others didn't, Jesus stopped and he looked up in that tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you get down from here, for I'm going to your house for tea. Well, that's not exactly what he said, but he said, I'm going to go dine with you today. When I was a little kid, my sister is a very, very little girl. I don't think she was over 5 years old. She'd get up and she would sing in Sunday school, and then she even sang in church. She said, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Lord came passing by, he looked up in the tree. He said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house for tea. Well, hey, man. Boy, y'all are good Sunday school students today. Wow, you singing that like you know it. Amen. Well, I don't know how you feel about it, but this old world's trying to keep me out of the tree. I want to do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Now, Zacchaeus didn't believe he was worthy for Jesus to even show him any attention. And I can promise you, Zacchaeus never dreamed that Jesus would be coming to his house to eat that day. But I'm telling you, when we reach for God with everything we've got, he will respond. He will respond. Oh, we've got to remember that. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. So good to see each and every one of you that have made it up to the mountain to worship with us here at Real Life Church in Tehachapi, California. Amen. And I want to remind all of us that if you don't have the church app yet, you need to download that. It's awesome. It's great. You get notifications every time there's a new message out. You'll get a notification on right there on your phone. You can listen to messages from the website as well. But if you get this app, it'll work on Android. It'll work on Apple. In fact, this app, I don't know much about all these platforms, but you can listen to the messages on Spotify, SoundCloud. Well, some of them on SoundCloud. You can look on Apple Podcasts. Is that what it's called?